Welcome to Pyconomy. Here we cover everything from finance, economy, and how it affects you. Please welcome your host, Kyle Talks.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome back, everyone, to Fightconomy. And you already know what it is, but I'm going to tell you it again, where we talk about the finance economy and how it affects you. If this is your first time here, thank you so much for clicking on this episode. Thank you for supporting your boy. And also, I bet you didn't know this, but by clicking on this episode, you actually deserve a pat on the back because you care about your future, and that's all we do here, is we care about our futures. That's all we do. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you are a regular, thank you so much. We welcome you back again at the Kyle Talks Fightconomy Studio. We hope you enjoy your stay. We do have a selection of beverages off to the side. We have some LaCroix. We have some, White Claws, if that's your thing. Please, beverages are in abundance here. So anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in. Like I said, this show is about finance, economy. What can we learn from it? What information can we do with it? Because usually, let's be honest, when you listen to these like finance and economy shows, and well, the alpha omega of the Greek letter numeral 6 has actually led to a deficient of 12, which actually means our economy is heading down the pooper. It's like, dude, pause, rewind. What did you just say? Very. Is someone who went to school and graduated with a degree in business administration, management, and finance, it's very confusing. And a lot of time in different homes, money is a no-no. Usually you don't talk about money. Either you don't talk about money, or when it is talked about, it's super negative, or it's a mix of the two. I, like myself, grew up in a home like that. It's very norm, I see, for a lot of like Zoomers. That was kind of like the normal in the homes. Not saying that's, I think that's generally a bad thing, and there's lots of factors that lead to that, but hey, let's talk about money. We don't have to be weird about it anymore. We literally use it to fund our lives. Let's not be weird about it. And also, the biggest point of the show, let's use it in our favor. Let's be defensive with it. Let's be offensive with it. Let's cool off on the cocktails and margaritas. You know what I'm talking about. Let's just use it smart. So that's kind of the vibe of the show. And how the show works is I throw up three articles that I think are incredibly relevant to you because they're relevant to me as a normal person. We're all normal people who are just wanting to learn from each other and what the heck is going on with the economy. So I share three articles. I'm breaking down. I break it down into layman's terms. I make it easy to digest, easy to understand, because that's how I understand things. When someone, I've been called both by coworkers, former cohorts, different friends. I'm like the king of simplicity, because if I can explain it in the simplest of terms, I think that's the best for everyone. And also, if you can explain something in like third grader terms, I think it shows you have a clear understanding of it. Now, I say that because that's how I learn. If I come out here and say, well, the GDP of the Greek letter gamma is actually down by like 12, but the beta of the U.S. economy is around a 15, you would have said, dude, you would have lost me. You probably lost some finance people. That we don't focus on that. We like to make things simple and easy to understand. So with those great things in mind, let me take 30 seconds of your time before we jump to our first article. Follow me on my social medias. Please, please follow. Please review the episode. Make sure you review the episode. Share the episode. My social media tags are in the description at Kyle the Horton on Instagram and Twitter. Go show some love there. Also, all these links that I use for these articles, I do provide down in the show notes. So please, I'm a big proponent of saying this, and I'll say this every Fightconomy. Whether this is your first time hearing it or a millionth, do your own research. There could be biases in these articles that I don't even notice. That is a real thing that does happen. So I want to recommend you guys go into these articles for yourself. Dig through them. What did you get out of it? Did I just lie the whole time to you? That could be a possibility. Go look at it for yourself. That way, you're reading these. You're getting it from like the source. You're not getting like secondhand information through anybody. And honestly, I follow advice for anything. Always go and find out for yourself instead of getting it secondhand, because a lot of things get lost in translation during the secondhand. One last thing. I am young and growing, and I don't have all the answers. This is how I'm seeing it. This is my interpretation of these articles, what's going on, and how we can best use it for ourselves. So with that in mind, let's jump into our first article. And I'm just going to say it. I look forward to living on Mars. Coming up on the first article today, we have the world's most beloved, hated billionaire. And also the richest person in the world at the moment. Who knows? But yeah, so we're going to jump in too. So life on Mars can be a reality in the next few years. And here's how I got here. Let's jump to the article. So we know that Elon Musk, who's the CEO of Tesla, also is the CEO and founder of SpaceX, which is Elon Musk, if you for some reason have been like living under a rock lately, he's actually a huge advocate for interplanetary travel and wants to see it before he passes on to the next life. And actually, he's making great strides in it by releasing rockets, SpaceX launching rockets into the sky, into orbit to do some interplanetary travel. And he actually did launch one. It was a little bit, I got some coffee next to me, guys, so don't worry. It was a little bit of an L. We're going to talk about that. But overall, it's a W. And I'm honestly, I hope I get to live to see interplanetary travel. I got like another good 80 years in me, I think. 75 to 80 years, and I would love to see. But nonetheless, it's something. So Elon Musk, SpaceX, launched its fully stacked Starship for the first time a little over a week ago. The company hopes to launch another Starship rocket as soon as June or July, guys. That's literally like in a month or 2 months. But that, of course, depends on a lot of factors. The highest hurdle, the second launch attempt, may be the daunting cleanup. So if you guys don't know, this Starship that he's had actually took off successfully and went through the different phases of orbit. I don't know what those are, if I can be real honest with you. But it took off into space, got into space, got a little out of the orbit, but then engines start falling off and it crashed essentially. So the dust has settled in Texas where the launch took, but the work to clean up the world's most powerful rocket and get the next one flying is a matter of months already underway. Elon Musk's SpaceX launched a fully Starship for the first time recently, and the 400-foot-tall vehicle flew more than 3 minutes, achieving several milestones for a rocket on an unprecedented scale. Why this is interesting is, to me, when I was like going through articles, I'm like, a 400-foot-tall vehicle and it flew for 3 minutes? I was like, that's like a W? Of course, I'm extremely ignorant. I have no idea what any of these things means. So essentially, without boring you, there'll be the link in the description will show links of why is this important. So please read it for yourself. I'm giving you the SparkNotes version. Is it's literally never been done before with a massive ship carrying people, carrying different cargo. It's literally never ever been done before on this of a scale. So what does this imply? That they can get it up and they know they can get it going and fix stuff. What does this apply? Interplanetary travel and sending people traveling through space can actually be a reality. You can carry cargo in form of resources, daily living habits, and people, and transport them, which has been made clear by this. Some people call it a fail, but overall, it's a W. So that is like crazy to me, because jumping into the business side of things, I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a lot of companies that are trying to sell space travel. So, for example, Virgin Galactic, I think it's like $100,000 a ticket. I know, a little out of everyone, a little expensive for everyday people like you and me, but it's like $100,000 a ticket. And like, you go, like, you know how you take a, like you fly a plane or a train somewhere, you ride a train. Virgin Galactic for $100,000 lets you like fly through space. Like they send you on a rocket, you go through space, do whatever, and you come back down. So like, obviously, that's not really profitable right now. Actually, their Virgin Galactic is doing real bad. We should do a thing on this. But like the future of the world, me and you were living in it, where there is a reality where you can get a 400 tall plus vehicle with all kinds of cargo and humans in it and send them through space and drop them off somewhere. Dude, is this only interesting to me? This could redefine literally life's economy, how you work. You can literally go like, hey babe, I'll be back, I'm about to go to work, just fly to Mars or whatever, you know what I mean? Anyways, I think this is crazy cool, so I had to include it. So how did this fail? I've said that. How did it fail? The Starship lost multiple engines during the launch, caused severe damage to the ground infrastructure, stuff around it, of course, the rocket itself, and ultimately failed to reach space after the rocket began to tumble and was then intentionally destroyed in the air. So like I said, a lot of work to be done, but the fact that they know they can do this, kind of nuts. Of course, you have to make sure you can get into space or none of this matters, you know, but I don't know. I'm an optimist. Who knows? So going on, as NASA Administrator Bill Nelson told the House Committee on Science, Space and Technology on Thursday that SpaceX blew a hole in that launch pad. That does not sound good, right? The company hopes to launch another Starship rocket as soon as June or July, but that may depend on many different things, regulatory sign-offs, readiness from the prototype, and a lot of cleanup. Soon after the launch, SpaceX began the process of cleaning up the launch pad and assessing the damage to its infrastructure. It was pretty bad. Photos taken by onlookers have shown that the violent result of the super heavy booster engines carved a crater into the ground and smashed debris into the launch tower, nearby tanks, and other ground equipment. I have asked, so I can report to you that as of today, SpaceX is still saying that they'll think it'll take at least 2 months to rebuild the launch pad, and then concurrently about 2 months to have their second vehicle ready to launch. NASA Chief Nelson told lawmakers Thursday, providing the most recent update on the company's timeline for returning to flight. Finally, the space agency has a vested interest. And what does that mean? They spent money on this. They have a financial interest in this. The space agency has a financial interest in the success of Starship, as NASA gave SpaceX nearly 3 billion big ones, 3 billion reasons to make this happen in 2021 to use the rocket to land astronauts on the moon as part of the Artemis program. Yo, I mean, I've already said most I think was really cool here, but the reason I include this article, because it's about economy, SpaceX, you know, they've took $3 billion, the process of getting people transported interplanetary means, I mean, like, obviously I don't have to say it, but I am, that's obviously will change, like, the whole entire game as far as, like, finances, economy, all this stuff, like, and then just having the ability to transport people, think about the jobs that will come out of this, think about so let me leave you on this thought. I'll finish this article on this thought. This article has a lot of promise, and I'm like really excited for it. I used to work at Target, and there is a great man there who I think I will definitely work with in the future. He's going to SDSU too. Go Aztecs. He goes to school there for like rocket engineering, and I'm doing finance, and we were talking about like space, and one of my goals in life really is like, I can't make it happen, but I would love to see like interplanetary travel before I pass on. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see that. Of course, I'll see my kids grow up and my families, blah, 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 you know, but man, I want to see, like, even though it probably won't be me, I would love, like, right before I pass to see like a human like colony on Mars. Or like, yeah, we're transporting people, we're flying them out to like Mars or the moon or Jupiter and then bringing them back. Like, having that at least be in the very first stage by the time I pass on from this world onto the next, that would be super cool. So anyways, we were talking about this. I forgot his name. I want to say it starts with an R, who worked at Target. I apologize. I forgot your name. And he recently just got engaged. I follow him on Instagram. I forgot his name, unfortunately. But he wants to be one of the first people to, like, mine asteroids. And I was like, what does that mean? To save you time, he's the next predicted, like, multi-trillion plus heir will be someone who owns, like, a resource company that flies out, like, people to mine, like, rocks and mine resources out in space and bring it back to Earth. That's, like, the next predicted trillionaire or gigillionaire, something like that. I've heard it from multiple sources. And so, like, he wants to do that. He's going to school to, like, learn about aerodynamics and stuff. And when I read this article, he was the first person I thought of. I was like, this is real. I'm like, soon, like, I don't know how soon, probably soon, you can literally go and it's like, oh yeah, I'm about to go mine an asteroid real quick and secure like $1 billion or whatever, light work. Like, that will honestly be reality. That is going to happen. And this just proves we're on the step to that direction. So I think that's cool. Maybe I'm nerding out a little bit, but I think it's cool. Anyways, talking about traveling, California hates gas. Yeah, let's talk about that. We've talked about it before. If you've missed some recent episodes, we talked about it in the Inflation Reduction Act. California banning the sale of all gas, diesel-powered vehicles by like 2040 or sometime sooner before that. Now, they're doubling down on that and banning diesel, like semi-trucks, by 2042. Which makes sense if you think about it. The whole state of California, let me put this in, I was born and raised California, so California is the only place I know. But think about this for context. Some people like to get weird about California with gas stuff, but try to see it from two sides. Before we jump to this article, I just want to put something in context for you. The entire state of California, the state, one out of 50, one state in the United States of America, which is California, by itself has more people in it than the entirety of Canada. And that's a whole like country. So when you put things in perspective like that, when you, California has more people by itself than the whole country of Canada, I'm just saying. So keep that in mind as we jump into today's article. But today's article, let's jump into it. California doubles down on gas vehicles. Let's talk about that. California regulators on Friday voted to ban the sale of new diesel big rigs. What does that mean? Semi-trucks. By 2036 and require all trucks to be zero emissions by 2042. A decision that puts the state at the forefront of mitigating natural tailpipe pollution. We're trying to figure out how to go to space, but we can't even figure out how to control traveling on Earth yet. Sheesh. Let's go further into it. The California Air Resources Board unanimously, which means everyone and their mama said yes, approved the Advanced Clean Fleet Rules, the state's second zero emissions rule and the first in the world to require new commercial trucks to be electric. Now, it's the second rule because they already said they're banning gas vehicles by like 2040 or something like that, right? So the mandate is estimated to deliver 26.5 billion Benjamins in public health benefits in California and avoided health impacts. So California plans to save $27 billion because the air will be a little better and people will get less sick. That's all that means. They voted this past Friday, and everything went through. The second one, supporters of this rule say it will improve public health in marginalized communities that have endured polluted air while mitigating the effects of climate change. Well, if it does that, it's a W. Of course, we want people to live good lives, and of course, we want people to breathe good air. Everyone wants that, no matter who you are. Like, what a W. No. If it does that or not is actually a whole different beast problem, but I can see how this can make air cleaner, especially in a state that has more people than an entire country. So actual W, we all want to breathe good air. And being a SoCalian, I was born in the Central Valley, born and raised Fresno, shout out 559. Also, I am now a SoCaler, a SoCalian, a Los Angelinian, something like that. And the air here is tough. Like, it is infinitely better in the Central Valley. Because, like, you know, mountains. So, it is, yeah. The air here is, like, actually bad. Moving on. Heavy-duty trucks represent nearly one-third of the state's nitrogen oxide, which is probably really bad for you, and more than one-quarter of its fine particle pollution from diesel fuel. No idea what that means, if I can be honest with you, but it does not sound good. While according to the California Air Resources Board, medium and heavy duty trucks are just 10% of the vehicles on the roads, and they emit 25% of the gases, according to the Union of Concerned Scientists, which is a nonprofit. So, yeah, I mean, there's what's more to talk about. I think this is interesting because I've covered topics like this in the past on this podcast, but they're going to ban the sale of gas cars and trucks and semi-trucks. So if you have a gas car in California, like I do, whenever this passes, I think it's like 2030 something, right? Almost 2040. You'll be fine. You just can't buy them off the lots, which is going to change the automobile industry for show in California. Not sure how that's going to look or this remains to be a thing still in 2040. But here's the thing. I think it's a great move. I think we do want to obviously, like, you know, climate change and like breathing bad air, like whatever you, there's some people who like to get weird about it, regardless of which way you are on this, whether it's weird or unweird, and that can go for both ways. I think our common ground is we don't want to breathe in, what did they say here? Nitrogen oxide and fine particle pollution from diesel fuel. I don't care who you are or what you kind of want to go about. I think we can all agree we don't want to be breathing whatever that stuff is, right? Can we agree on that? I think it's safe to say we agree on that. So interesting. We'll see how this affects like automation and cars. Tesla have seen a lot of bumps. EV vehicles, especially the hybrid Volt, actually has seen lots of uptick in sales in California because California actually now incentivizes you to buy electric vehicles because you get a portion of that money back in taxes. Isn't that kind of interesting? Now we're, you know, for middle lower class people, maybe that's not a reality. That maybe only affects the top people who can afford stuff like that, you know? Where will we go from here? Who knows? I think this is a good article for those who love to watch California's downfall, or a lot of Californians who listen to this, because I myself am a Californian. It's interesting. How do you think this is going to affect? Do you think people will try to get rid of cars? Do you think California will even go to as far as just ban gas vehicles altogether, so you're forced to get an electric vehicle? Let me hear your thoughts. And while you're thinking about that and you're on your way to buy more gas, have you noticed prices for grocery stores have come up? Because they have been. I know Theo's telling you. I know he was. Trust me, I get it. I've seen the prices myself. I'm finna go grocery shopping right after this episode comes out. So after you're listening to this, know that I just spent the money that I'm about to tell you people are spending personally. It's crazy. The inflation saga, unfortunately, folks, and it breaks my heart to bring this to you today. The inflation saga is not over. Excuse me. Prices have been going up the past few months, and it went up about 0.5% last month alone, and about 1% almost this year. Inflation is starting to sneak its heads back in, but let's talk more about why. So, despite a year's worth of interest rate increases, inflation rose again in March, according to economic data released Friday that the Federal Reserve closely watches. Let me break a few terms down here for you so you can better understand what's happening, because that sentence probably sounded like a load of hoopla. A year's worth of interest rate. Let's start with the Federal Reserve. For the uninitiated, if you don't know what the Federal Reserve is, here's all they are. Are you ready for this? The money managers of America. That's all they are. They make sure money's good, money's coming in, money's going out. Interest rates are good, so you can keep paying the government. That's all it is. That is all it is. So, with that in mind, what does that do with interest rates? Well, I'm going to break this down really fast for you, but I do have episodes in Ficonomy if you go back and listen to them where I explain this in a lot more detail. But money is not created when it's printed. Money is created when you take out a loan for school, for a house, be it a credit card, for a car. That's when you create money, because you didn't have $100,000 for that house, but you agreed to take out a loan and you would pay back $100,000, and boom, there it is. You just created $100,000 out of thin air. you are adding and contributing to America's finances. Thank you, kind American. That's how that works. And how do you pay back loans? With interest rates. And since this, since American economy, I guess you can say, is built on debt, raising and lowering interest rates is actually how you control how much people spend, because usually people spend on a credit card and stuff like that, right? So that's what it is. So they increase interest rates a lot because they want to slow people, to tell people to stop spending money so prices can come down. This is very simple, but it's essentially what's going on. So yeah, they increase the interest rate for a year and prices are still going up. What the heck, Americans? What's going on? Well, here's what's going on. The personal consumption expenditures in, price index, so how much people are spending personally, excluding food, rose 3% for the, 0.3% for the month, in line with market expectations. On an annual basis, this increases about 4.6%, slightly higher than the expected for 4.5%. So we are, what does that mean? What Ellis Presents means? We are like exceeding pace on the natural increase of everything minus food and energy. So your clothes, your chain, your jewelry, the thing you got for your girl that she left with you and still has, all of it is going up. Including food and energy, it also rose by 0.1% for the month, equating to around, if it keeps increasing at this pace or increases, you could see a 5% gain by the end of the year, which is crazy. Also, this measure peaked around 7% in June when inflation was at its all-time highest of last June, excuse me, June of 2022, around 8%, and that was just for food. Inflation around then was around 10%. So inflation, it's a slow start, but it's starting to re-peak and come back up again. Which, and you put it, and here's the thing. Like, oh, Kyle, prices only raised by 0.1%. That's not bad, right? Or 0.3. You're not wrong. I thought the same thing when I was, like, doing school and learning from this. But let's all use the example we're all just lived through. In 2022, peak inflation was, like, 10%. And guess when that started? I'm giving you some time to guess. Think about when, because it just didn't happen one day in summer of 2022. Everything was 10, 11% more. It just didn't happen like that, right? When did inflation start to come back up? 9 months. So at the end of 2021 is when we start to see this rise of inflation, which led to like the huge 10% plus inflation that we got in 2022. Now things are better. Yes. I'm not saying inflation is going to come back up, but these are the metrics that you have to look for. So maybe on this article, there's nothing to do at the moment, but to be aware that prices are still going up, even though we've increased interest rates and trying to slow down spending, but it's not slowing down spending. Let's continue. The headline number was softer as energy prices slid 3.7% for the month and food costs declined by 0.2%. Goods prices increased by 0.2 and services increased by 0.2. Another key inflation measure for the Fed, the employment cost index, how much does it cost to get employees, increased by 1.5%, higher than estimated. Now, does this make sense? Yes, for those of you who haven't been listening to my previous FI Economy episodes, we actually know that if you're looking for a job, you have all the power, so you can force them to pay you a little bit more. So that's not surprising to us. That actually makes sense that it's costing more to get employees because they have to pay them more. The inflationary pressures were reflected in the willingness of consumers to keep spending. So this has to be frustrating for the Federal Reserve or the money managers of America, right? They're trying to increase interest. So y'all, so we, not even y'all, you and me and everyone else, stop spending. And us Americans, nah, we're gonna go to Dave and Buster's. We're going to get a couple of martinis still. We're going to go party. We're going to buy that girl a couple of martinis still. We're going to go out and dress to the nine and buy all these clothes and stuff still. Of course, people still have to eat, so I kind of exclude that. But it's crazy. We're seeing high inflation. Even in the summer, we saw high inflation and people were still spending. What does that mean? Are American consumers you and me more confident in our financial system than the people who run it? And if that's the case, that is extremely scary. And we're seeing a resurgence of this where we're trying to bring these things down and still people are spending money still. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that, it's weird, right? So while the annual rates are below the peaks in 2022, which is good. So even if we continue at this pace, we still won't hit where we're at in 2022, which is good. They're still well above the central banks, the Federal Reserve, the money managers of America's goal of 2% every year. Since March of 2022, the Fed has consistently increased the interest rate 9 times for a total of 4.75%. What do you guys think about this? There's more stuff, so please continue to read this in the article in the description below, in the show notes. But inflation's starting to peak. Have you noticed the prices? Is that, you tell me, and we're just regular people talking. You don't need a degree to participate in this conversation. But in your experience, in your job, and your, when you're spending money on, do you think we're heading to another high? Or do things seem pretty mellow for you and where you're at, where your prices are? I'm curious. Please let me know. And folks, what did we talk about today? That brings us to an end to our FI Economy session. Don't be sad. Let me tell you what we just talked about. Refresh your mind. We talked about living on Mars being a reality. We talked about California doubling down on banning the sale of gas vehicles by 2036 to 2040 and possibly banning gas vehicles altogether. And then we also, to tie it up in a pretty bow and send you home with a nice pat on your back, prices increasing again. Where do you think it's going? I would love to continue this conversation with you on social media. So please follow me on Kyle the Horton on Instagram and Twitter. If you learned anything of value from this video, please go ahead and share it with some friends. Leave a review first. Before you even share, leave a review in Apple Music and Spotify. Let me know how good, or honestly bad, or just okay I was. That feedback's really important. And of course, it's not necessary, but if you need to, if you would like to support the show, my Patreon links are down below. Everything there goes right back into making the podcast even better than it could ever be. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget to share, review, have a conversation with someone. And honestly, call your grandma or text your grandma or grandparent or grandparent-like figure in your life and just say, I love you. Just all you gotta do. Just do that. Just do that. I can't wait to talk to you guys next time. I hope you learned. I hope you're walking away with valuable information. And I'll see you guys next time on the main show, Kyle Talks. Peace.